Jonah is angry with God. The reason I take a moment and let you think about that is that we would not often think that we are angry with God, but I think, folks, we'd be surprised in how often we are angry with God. Jonah's angry with God. Jonah hates the people of Nineveh. And again, I think we're challenged when we consider our relationships with people and our response to people. Jonah hates the people of Nineveh. But he doesn't want to face another storm. He doesn't want to face another fish. So he delivers God's message, and God uses it to convert the whole city. And folks, that in itself is proof that God can use people who do right things for wrong reasons. And God can love through you even when you're not loving through Him. And what that tells us is that this is God's work. This is how God works. It's His. And yet we acknowledge in our study of the book of Jonah, we come to this point, Jonah is wrong. He doesn't have the heart of a servant. He doesn't have the heart of a prophet. And the way that God will show us what kind of heart that we should have toward Nineveh, or toward Iowa City, or toward our neighbors, is to show us His heart. So today, let's simply work our way through the last verses of the book of Jonah, because we truly need to see our own hearts, and we need to see the heart of God. Let's go back to verse 4, Jonah chapter 4, verse 4, and let's examine first of all God's question to Jonah. When Jonah gets angry with God and wants his life to end, God responds to the prophet, and he asks a question in verse 4. Look at the question. God says, "Is it right for you to be angry?" It's an interesting response by God. See, we would think, knowing as we've studied this book, and we've seen Jonah's response, we've caught glimpses of his heart, we would think that Jonah deserved a strong response by God. To put it in some language that we might understand, or at least some of us might understand, the prophet Jonah needed to be taken to the woodshed. Do you know what that means? That's what Jonah needed. But God knows his heart. And God knows what Jonah needs. So God doesn't ask Jonah what right Jonah had as a mere man to criticize God. He's asking Jonah to re-examine his assessment of the situation. Jonah's assessment of the situation, because Jonah is angry. It's like God says to the prophet, "Are you sure you're right, Jonah? Are you correct in your evaluation of what's happened here? Are you right? Are you correct, Jonah?" I think even when we look at that question, that we need to slow down and we need to consider this question by God, because the question that God asked Jonah is a good question for us to ask ourselves. When we're struggling with anger, we need to ask the question, "Do I do well to be angry? Is my response a correct response?" Simplest way to ask it is this: am I right to be angry? Perhaps we struggle with pride. And again, we turn our thoughts to these questions. Do I do well to be proud? Do I do well to feel sorry for myself? Do I do well to be critical of others? Do I do well to be indifferent or lukewarm toward God? You see, it would do us well to ask this question in many situations of daily living. We need to look at the situations and the circumstances of life with the perspective and the assessment of God. That, I believe, is God's purpose in this question to Jonah. So God asks Jonah a good question. Now notice that Jonah doesn't answer the question. It's one of those situations when you know that you're wrong, so you don't say anything. You remain silent because anything that you may say will be used against you in the court of law. And yet in this case, Jonah is quiet. But God's not finished with the prophet. He asks the question. Do you understand what God's doing? He's getting to the heart of Jonah. And oh, brothers and sisters, God knows how to get to our hearts. He gets to the heart of Jonah. Now let's move on and let's get a glimpse of Jonah's heart. Look at verse 5. Jonah chapter 4, verse 5. So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there he made himself a shelter and sat under it in the shade till he might see what would become of the city. So Jonah leaves the city, he builds a shelter, and he waits to see what happens to Nineveh. Now, do you understand what's going on in his heart? Because Jonah is hoping against hope that God will change his mind and God will destroy the city. That's what Jonah wants. That's why Jonah is angry. And we talked about that last week. And so he goes to the east side of the city, makes himself a little shelter, and sits down. And you can just picture this in your mind. Crosses his arms and he sits down and he waits. His plan is to wait there 40 days or whatever amount of days. And he wants God to destroy this city. And he wants a ringside seat to see what God will do. But the shelter that Jonah made was a makeshift shelter, and it wasn't providing him relief from the hot sun. And then notice verse 6, because we're told that God responded to Jonah's situation. And the Lord God prepared a plant and made it come up over Jonah that it might be shade for his head to deliver him from his misery. So Jonah was very grateful for the plant. So this God-appointed plant springs up and saves Jonah from the brutal sun that's beating down upon him. And in no time, Jonah grows to love this plant. Verse 6 says that Jonah was very grateful for the plant. It means exceedingly grateful. It means greatly grateful. So God shows compassion and mercy and grace to his disgruntled prophet. Look at verse 7. And as morning dawned the next day, God prepared a worm. And it so damaged the plant that it withered. God appointed a worm to eat the plant, kill it, and the leaves that provided Jonah with relief from the discomfort of the sun withered and died. And God is still not finished. Look at verse 8. And it happened when the sun arose that God prepared a vehement east wind. And the sun beat on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. And then he wished death for himself and said, "It is better for me to die than to live." So God now appoints this scorching hot wind to blow across the land, and Jonah grows faint because of the heat. Think about it. He lost his shade. The hot wind now blows upon him. Jonah becomes discouraged and depressed, and he's ready to die. And he says, "It's better for me to die than to live." It's Jonah again saying, "God, take my life." We look at these verses, and I think our first response is just to shake our heads at Jonah. What kind of man is this? What kind of prophet is this? But perhaps we should first ask, what kind of God is this? What kind of God is this? You see, God's powerful hand is witnessed throughout this book. God spoke to Jonah in chapter 1. God hurled a great storm on the ship as Jonah tries to escape. God appointed a great fish to swallow Jonah before he drowned. God spoke to the fish and Jonah was spit out on the dry land. God again spoke to the prophet and told him to go to Nineveh. God used a short message by Jonah to bring the people of Nineveh to repentance. God appointed a plant to grow quickly to shade his pouting prophet. God then appointed a worm to kill the plant. And God then appointed a strong wind to blow on his prophet. Folks, people often scoff and ridicule the supernatural events of the book of Jonah. But the point of the book is not that these things happen all the time. Now, what happens all the time is that God controls everything. He is sovereign over everything, and we get that from the book of Jonah. But the point of the book is to show the heart of God and what God will do to accomplish His work of grace. As I was reviewing this week, and even right now it brings a smile to my face, because God will even use a worm to show His grace. That's the grace of God. So once again, God asked Jonah a question. We see it in verse 9. He says, "Is it right for you to be angry about the plant?" Do you see the patience of God? Do you see His long-suffering? Is it right for you to be angry about the plant? And Jonah's response, in the words of my dad, bless his heart, Jonah's response was filled with selfishness and pride. It is right for me to be angry, even to death. And so, folks, we see the heart of this man. When he doesn't get his way, he gets angry. When things don't go the way that he thinks they should, he wants to die. Be careful about what you're thinking about Jonah right now. Remember that through Jonah, we catch glimpses of our own hearts. Look at verse 10. Look at verse 10. Because God is peeling away the layers of his heart. But the Lord said, "You have had pity on the plant for which you have not labored nor made it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night." See, God presses on Jonah's out of proportion compassion for a plant that he had nothing to do with. He didn't plant it. He didn't tend it. He just enjoyed it. Folks, Jonah, in many respects, is like that spoiled child that is wrapped up entirely in what he wants, and he kicks and screams when he doesn't get what he wants. He feels compassion and pity for the plant because it provided him comfort. And Jonah had no compassion for Nineveh. No compassion for those people. You see how easy it is for Jonah to become attached to something that God provides. Jonah's focus becomes what God gives and not God Himself. And folks, it's easy for us to walk that same pathway. Our life becomes what we want. Our life becomes what brings us comfort and happiness and joy. And our life becomes what God gives us and not God Himself. And God is still not finished with Jonah. He asks a final question, and that question ends the book. And the question gives us a look at God's heart. Look at verse 11. God says, "And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city, in which are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and much livestock?" See, I would say to you that this is a question of compassion. Now again, Jonah does not answer the question. It's actually left up to us to answer the question. It's a very different ending to the book of Jonah. Ends like perhaps no other book. It just suddenly stops with this question. And we don't get the answer from Jonah, but brothers and sisters, if we have spent time in the book of Jonah and the Spirit of God who dwells within us working His work, we should answer this question. God says, "And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city?" And Nineveh is a wicked city, and God will and must judge the wicked. And God sees their wickedness, but He also sees their ignorance. They are blind. They are foolish. God describes them in verse 11. He says, "In which are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left." Now this may refer to little children who were not old enough to know their right hand from their left hand, but there's no other place in the Old Testament where children are described like this. So I think that what's happening here, what God is saying, is that these people of Nineveh are confused and they're weak and they're ignorant and they're blind. But this ignorance does not free them from their guilt. They are sinners, and there is real corruption and wickedness that has deceived them and confused them. They are morally and spiritually lost. But God has compassion on them. And it's the same compassion that Jesus spoke about on the cross when He said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do." These are precious souls that God has everything to do with. He created them. He provided for them. He gave them a place to live and to function. They're not just here and then gone in a day like a plant. They are eternal in nature. And God's heart is filled with compassion for the wicked, just as His heart is filled with compassion for His people. It's a different love. It's a different love that God has for His people than for all people, and yet God has compassion on all. He has a love for all. He really is a gracious God. He really is a God of grace for all. He is merciful and slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and not just for Israel and not just to Christians, but He has a love for all people. And God's question, "Should I not pity Nineveh?" is a question that begs the comparison. It's like He says to Jonah, "Jonah, compare your heart to mine. Should I not pity Nineveh?" It's like God would say to us, Faith Baptist Church, "Compare your heart to mine. Should I not pity Nineveh?" And it's an open question that leaves us then to answer it. Will we view people as God does? Will we forgive people as God does? Will we limit our compassion to people or things that are close to us? Will we love people like God loves them? And then God closes His reasoning on an unexpected note. Look at verse 11. Verse 11 ends with the question, "And much livestock?" And it ends. Now, please don't get the idea that this is the basis of some sentimental vision of animal rights. Throw that out. That's not what's happening here in the book of Jonah. You see, God ordained cattle for meat and sacrifices. So what's the point? Why would God mention cattle with the people of Nineveh? I think the point is this, that God made cattle and hundreds of other things to be useful for man. And the tragedy of judgment is made worse when the things that are made, that are meant for good uses, are simply swept away in judgment. And God reminds Jonah with that question. And the point is again compassion and mercy and God's grace. In spite of all the sin and all the wickedness of Nineveh, God pitied that city. Folks, the application is clear. Look around. In spite of all the sin and the wickedness of Iowa City, in spite of all the sin and wickedness of the United States of America, and you can plug in any place, any group of people in that statement, in spite of that sin and wickedness, God pities them. God shows compassion to them. He pities these people. And God wants us to have the same compassion. So the question that then comes back to us as we look at God's final statements here to Jonah is this. In application, will we love this city? Will we love these people around us? Will we love these people who are so different and so indifferent to God? You see, brothers and sisters, I'm afraid that I'm a lot like Jonah. And there's a lot of Jonah in me. What about you this morning? We need the grace of God. We need to tell others of God's grace. And let's be reminded this morning of the mercy and grace of God that was poured out at Calvary. The Son of God, Jesus Christ, died in our place because of our sin. He took God's judgment upon Himself, judgment that we deserved. It was ours. He took it upon Himself. And everything that I deserved and everything that you deserved because of our disobedience and our rebellion and our sin against God, Jesus took that upon Himself. And by His death, He took our sin and He gave us His righteousness. And He was raised from the dead to confirm it all. And anyone who repents and puts their faith in this God-man, Jesus Christ, whoever puts their faith in Him can have that forgiveness of sins and eternal life. We need to proclaim this, and we need to live this. Should God pity Nineveh? Should we pity our Nineveh? Let's pray.